I'm angry. I'm very angry. I'm hurt. I'm experiencing pain with my church, disillusionment with my church. I had a good life, 37 years of marriage. Afterward, I foresaw the opportunity to finish out my life serving the church as a priest, and I see what's going on after the letter we all heard last week. And I can't help but ask myself, what'd you sign up for? What do you think you're doing? The better part of the last 2 weeks, I was on that pilgrimage in the Holy Land with Bishop Vasquez and another priest. And as I said, there were 35 of us in total. When that news surfaced about the betrayal by Cardinal McCarrick and then the 300 priests accused of sexual abuse in Pennsylvania, possibly abusing 1,000 or more children. 300 priests. While on pilgrimage, Bishop Vasquez was present to us in the pilgrimage, and none of us really realized he was in agony in the evenings preparing that letter. But just like you heard it last weekend, he asked us to read it at Mass last Sunday when we were at Our Lady of Palestine, which is a convent. You hear the words, and then this sour feeling settles in your stomach. How do we reconcile that news? One person on our pilgrimage shared, they were thinking, I thought after the scandalous news surrounding the scandal of 2002 and the bishop's charter, that we were moving on. It was behind us. This is worse. This is worse. The response of the church after 2002 included a series of policies and programs that appear to be working, but only for the lay people and the priests. Our diocesan program of protecting God's children was the very first in the world, very first one here in Austin, Texas, under Bishop Amon. Ethics in Ministry, EIM. If you're a minister, you've been taking these courses every 3 years. It appears to be working. Sister Olga runs our program here in the parish, and every minister in our parish is required to take EIM, including the mandatory police background checks. We're doing it, and it works. But let's be honest. The current revelation of betrayal shows that nothing was ever done for bishop accountability. The programs and policies put in place were for lay people and priests. Now we're paying the price of that failure. With more and more revelations regarding bishop cover-ups. It's bad enough that the priests were abusing children. 300 of them, over 1,000 children we know of. For 70 years? And nobody reported it? I'm sorry. That hurts. It strikes me deep. These were false shepherds protecting the wolves, not protecting the sheep. A shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherds failed and protected the wolves. Those priests are wolves in sheep's clothing. Those bishops are wolves in shepherd's clothes. That's not acceptable. My pain is that the abuse of the children was covered up. But let me tell you, I think it's going to be worse. I don't think it's over. That report of the 300 priests from the diocese in Pennsylvania was not even from all the dioceses in Pennsylvania. There were 8 dioceses, I think only 6 reported. There are 49 other states in the United States of America. You think there's not going to be more news coming out? This means we have to wait for the other shoes, plural, to drop on our church. This also means the victims of this abuse will have to relive and relive and relive their pain and the fact that they were ignored. In many cases, the church made them the abusers. Tell them to go away and shut up. This revelation, in addition to many others, is tearing our church apart. It's going to happen. You think it was bad after 2002? This is going to be worse. When the bishops are accused of cover-up while ignoring and mistreating the victims, I don't even have words for my feelings. I can't find an explanation. I can't make an excuse. I can't find reason or logic. I can't find a remedy for the pain. I'm embarrassed for our church. I just want to be honest with you. I don't know what to say. Has anything like this ever happened in the history of our church in 2,000 years? I think our scriptures tell us yes. Yes. Yes, it has happened. This is not the first time. Look at the first reading. If you pay attention to that first reading, here's what was going on. Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and spent 40 years with them, purifying them of paganism and reforming them in their faith, in the faith of Abraham. He died before they crossed the River Jordan to go into Israel. And he chose Joshua to lead them afterwards. To lead them into the promised land. And he quickly learned that the Israelites could not occupy the promised land without firm loyalty to God and a willingness to protect the land against the pagans who were there before them. They came from a pagan country. They absorbed the paganism. Moses scoured it out of them with God's help. And now they're entering the promised land where there's pure paganism, child sacrifice. This was part of their religion. And Joshua saw, we're going right back into the soup again. He foresaw the potential corruption of the nation of Israel, and it would come over and over again as the Old Testament unfolded. We just see this over and over again. Joshua called all the Israelite leaders and people together to make the point crystal clear. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today. Decide whom you will serve. The gods your fathers served beyond the river, back in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you're now dwelling. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He placed it right in front of them. Time to make a decision. That purpose united them as a nation, as children of God. And they responded, we will serve God And that is how they overcame. And when they fell away from that in time, we see the devastation of the Old Testament. When Jesus revealed, as we've been reading in the last 3 or 4 weeks from the chapter of John 6, when he revealed the teachings of giving his body and blood, the teachings of the Eucharist, it shocked many who could not accept his teaching that we must eat his body and drink his blood if we want to have eternal life in us. We hear in the gospel, many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" And we read, as a result of this, many of the disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They were following, and then they fell away. This is not unlike the responses to the church in our own history with various heresies and the Protestant Reformation. Many chose to leave the Catholic Church over the last 500 years because of our widespread abuses of many bishops and cardinals and popes. Satan has a long history attacking God's people. This is satanic. This is diabolical. This is the work of the demons. And it's always been there. He's long sought to attack and divide the church with corruption and division and separate believers from the sacraments. If you leave the church, you leave the sacraments. And later, most Protestant churches over the last 500 years has abandoned almost all the sacraments. There is no sacramental life in the Protestant church. There's no Eucharist. There's no confession and reconciliation. There's no anointing of the sick. There's no holy orders. Listen to the conversation of Jesus with the 12. He says, "Do you also want to leave?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." "Yes, I'm hurt. I want to be transparent about it. I'm disillusioned over the recent events, but to whom would I go? Where else would I go? To the Protestant church? No, I believe too firmly in the sacramental life of the church. Look where the devil has attacked us. And it's his attacks. And he's attacked us in our sacraments. He has attacked us at the very source of our sacraments by attacking priests and bishops. And the devil, we give him victory when we leave the church. Oh, I'll get even with the church. They won't get any more of my money and I won't be there anymore." Mark one up for the devil. That's exactly what he wants. Satan is attacking our faith to separate us from our salvation. That's the only way to look at it. I feel betrayed, but I don't feel abandoned. God will not abandon us. The bad bishops and priests are not the church. They are not the church. They are false shepherds. They're the devil lying to us in a costume. When they chose to victimize the innocent, they ceased being servants of Jesus Christ and pastors of his people and his church. Judas Iscariot was not the church. He was a false apostle. They happen. I would hate to be tricked into condemning all priests and bishops over these reports. I've just known too many holy men, holy priests, holy bishops. Yesterday we prayed at the funeral for one of my heroes, Bishop John McCarthy, who ordained me to the permanent diaconate. Bishop Joe Vasquez is a holy man. I know him well. Bishop Danny, he's a holy man. I've known him for years. Our diocese has been blessed with good shepherds and good priests. Are there rotten apples once in a while? You bet. I can't turn my back on the goodness of our church, on the sacramental gifts that we have to share. I will not join the betrayers. I'm hurt, but I'm going to be faithful. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to double down. I have to become a better priest. I have to become more committed to you, my parishioners. I have to become more committed to my parish. God has blessed me. I can't turn my back on that. He blessed me with conversion to the Catholic Church. My faith came as a young adult when I converted to the church. That was not a mistake. God doesn't lie. He's blessed me with a wonderful marriage and wonderful children, the faithful Catholic wife. Okay, I'm a widower, but it was a blessed union. She was a Catholic woman, a faithful woman. And after becoming a widower, God has blessed me with the possibility of being a priest. Your priest, your pastor. What am I going to do? Well, I think the scripture gives us an excellent example in the words of St. Peter. When Jesus asked him, are you going to go too? And Peter says, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. This is the only response I have. At the end of the day, it's the only one I'm left with. I want to resist with all my soul the temptation to betray, to leave, to run for the crimes of a few. No, I won't do that. And I invite you to all stand with me and renew your faith in our church. And we ask God, please protect your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's the promise. Believe the promise.